أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال موسى لقومه إن الله يأمركم أن تذبحوا بقرة قالوا أتتخذنا هزوا قال أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما هي قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة لا فارض ولا بكر عوان بين ذلك ففعلوا ما تؤمرون قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما لونها قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة صفراء فاقع لونها تسر الناظرين قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة صفراء فاقع لونها تسر الناظرين قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما هي إن البقرة تشابه علينا وإنا إن شاء الله لمهتدون قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة لا ذلول تثير الأرض ولا تسقي الحرث مسلمة لا شية فيها قالوا الآن جئت بالحق فذبحوها وما كادوا يفعلون وإذا قتلتم نفسا فادارأتم فيها والله مخرج ما كنتم تكتمون فقلنا اضربوه ببعضها كذلك يحيي الله الموتى ويريكم آياته لعلكم تعقلون ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله وما الله بغافل عما تعملون صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Most respected elders, friends, respected mu'takifin, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. It is a month in which Almighty Allah تبارك وتعالى revealed the Quran Kareem. In the month of Ramadan, we attach ourselves to the Quran Kareem. One is to read the Quran Kareem, and one is to relate to the Quran Kareem. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has mentioned many, many incidents, many stories in the Quran Kareem, so that we could ponder, we could reflect, and we could relate to those incidents in our personal lives. After explaining and mentioning the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In these incidents that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Kareem, they are lessons for people of intelligence. The word ulul albab, people of intelligence, this word comes 16 times in the Quran Kareem. And there are three characteristics of intelligent people according to the word ulul albab. Firstly, an intelligent person, he would think deep. He would just not think from the surface. He would apply his mind, he would understand an issue from different angles and dimensions, and then he would draw conclusions. And this is also understood from an ayat of the Quran Kareem. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about the concept of qisas. When one person kills another person, you behead him, you take his life away, capital punishment. In that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. By taking away the life of the murderer, there's actually life for you. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala addresses, O people of intelligence. If you would apply your mind, then you would see that taking away the life of a person actually serves as a deterrent from taking away the lives of people. Second characteristic of intelligent people, they are those people that they think far ahead. They make long-term decisions, not short-time decisions. This is also understood from an ayat of the Quran Kareem. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah Ta'ala says, take your provisions. You are traveling. One is traveling the world and one is a travel from this world to the hereafter. Take your provisions. When we travel in this world, then we take all our provisions to have a safe journey. Here Allah is speaking about the travel to the akhirat. What a long, arduous journey it is. Allah says that, O people of intelligence, make a long-term decision and take your provisions with you. And the third characteristic of an intelligent person is he ponders upon the creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, upon the manifestation of the power of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this again is understood from the ayat of the Quran Kareem. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab. In the creation of the sky, in the creation of the earth, in the alternating of the day and the night, there are signs for intelligent people. In this session, inshallah, we will be discussing various incidents, stories that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned to us in the Quran Kareem. And we need to listen to these incidents with these three qualities in us. Think deep, think, ponder, reflect. What are these incidents all about? Make long-term decisions. Prepare ourselves for the akhirat. And by listening to these incidents, we should inculcate in us the greatness, the grandeur of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in our hearts. The very first chapter of the Quran Kareem, after Suratul Fatiha, is Suratul Baqarah. The chapter of the cow or the chapter of the heifer. In Suratul Baqarah, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala generally refers to the great bounties that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala bestowed the Banu Israel. Some of the bounty that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala refers to in the Quran Kareem to the Banu Israel, Ya Bani Israel, azkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum wa anni faddaltukum 'alal 'alamin. O Banu Israel, remember my bounties upon you. One of which is that I made you the most virtuous nation, most virtuous people among the people. Allah has given them superiority at that time of the world. What a great bounty this is from the side of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Second bounty Allah mentions that Fir'aun used to oppress them. He was a tyrant ruler. Oppression and persecution. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and liberated them from the oppression and tyranny of Fir'aun. وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. So much of oppression and persecution, he would keep the men, he would kill the men, and he would spare the life of the woman and children. Third bounty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given them, when Fir'aun was just behind them, with his huge, powerful, gigantic army to capture them. They were just by the Red Sea. There was no way for them to escape. But Allah says, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرِ. We split the sea open. And in that way, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Banu Israel were able to go on the other side. Fir'aun and his army drowned in the sea. They witnessed it with their own eyes. They see the power and the qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The fourth bounty, they were in a valley, stuck there. Food to eat. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent up, وَانْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. Manna refers to a fruit, salwa refers to a bird. It is a unique fruit, unique birds Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given them as food to eat. And another bounty from among the many bounties that Allah tabarak speaks about, there was drought, there was famine, there was no water. وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجْرِ. They pleaded to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, get water for us, get water for us. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, take your stick, strike it in the ground. And then 12 springs came out. Now imagine a nation that is witnessing all these powers of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Long time they would have submitted to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But with all that, they kept on showing disobedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One disobedience to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is mentioned here in the verses that were recited by Mufti Jabran Sallamahu. Before reciting or before translating these verses, a very brief background of this and the lesson, the morals that we can take out of this. Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi states that in the Banu Israel there was a person that wanted to get married to a girl. He was obsessed with her. He made proposal many times to a girl's father to get him married to the daughter. But the father would refuse. He wouldn't allow that person to get married to his daughter. Out of anger, out of frustration, this person killed the girl's father. This, according to one version, according to another version of Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, with the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that there was a very wealthy rich person in the Banu Israel. He had no children, he had all nephews. And the nephews were after the wealth of the uncle. They were hoping in the heart that they would die quickly, so that they would inherit his wealth. But one nephew could not restrain himself, he went and killed his uncle. He hid this crime of his and then he went around everywhere crying, somebody killed my uncle, somebody killed my uncle. So people told him, Go to the Nabi of the time, to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and complain. When he went to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the very murderer went to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to complain. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam investigated. Does anybody know about this murder? Does anybody know that who have committed this crime? Nobody knew, because the murderer himself was the one that hid it. Then Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent down revelation to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam how to identify the murderer. So it is these verses that we will be reciting. I will be translating those verses and then I will explain it. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَسْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. And remember, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told to his nation, verily, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala orders you that you slaughter a cow. The purpose was that a portion of the cow will be taken and placed onto the dead person, the murdered person. He would come back to life and he would then say that who has killed him. قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُذُوَا. The Banu Israel, they told to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, what kind of solution is this? Somebody is dead, now we must slaughter a cow. Are you making us a mockery? Is this how you identify a dead person? قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, that I seek refuge in Allah, that I be from among the ignorant ones. Finally, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam explained to them, this is the order of Allah. It's not from myself. قَالُ ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. The Banu Israel, instead of just simply submitting to the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that had the Banu Israel got any cow, any heifer and slaughtered it, it would have been sufficient. But now they did not submit to the order of Allah. They didn't listen. There wasn't submission and subjugation in them. They wanted to avert this order. So now they started playing around with the law of Allah. Ud'u lana rabbak. Make dua to our Rabb. Ask our Rabb. Yubayyin lana mahi. To explain to us in detail what type of cow should that be. Qal, innahu yaqul. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah Ta'ala is now saying, innaha baqara la faridu wala bikr. It should be such a cow that is not old and that is not young. Awanum bayna dhalik. The cow should be between them two, not very old, not very young. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam advised his nation, faf'alu ma tu'marun. Just carry out what you are ordered to do. Again, it was a mischief of the Banu Israel. No submission, no subjugation, not listening to the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Qalu ud'u lana rabbaka yubayyin lana ma lawnuha. They said that ask our Rabb that he should explain to us what should be the color of the cow. Qal innahu yaqul. Again Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, innaha baqaratun safra. That cow should be yellow in color. We don't see yellow cows. Had the Banu Israel taken any cow and slaughtered it, it would have been sufficient. They are playing with the law of Allah. Allah made it difficult upon them. A unique cow, yellow cow, you find it. And that too, فَاقِعُ اللَّوْنُهَا تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ. It must be deep in its color, deep yellow. And it must also please an onlooker when he looks at that cow. Third time, again. قَالُ ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. Again, the Banu Israel, they said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, ask our Rabb that again he should explain to us in detail what that cow should be. Inna al-baqara tashabaha alayna. The description of the cow is confusing upon us. We don't know what type of cow we should slaughter. Wa inna insha'Allah lamuhtadun. And if Allah wills, then will be guided on that cow. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told, innahu yaqul. Now Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is saying, innaha baqara. It should be such a cow, la zalulun. A cow does not do hard labor. Such hard labor, tusirul ardu wa la tasqil hars. It does not tilt the ground and it does not water the fields. Such a cow, yellow cow, and it must not be doing any hard labor. Musallama. The cow should be completely sound. La shiyata fiha. There should be no blemish in that cow. Now, there are no questions left to ask. They wanted in complete detail. Complete detail has been given. Now they had to carry out this order. Qalu al-an ji'ta bil-haq. Now Banu Israel mentioned, now you have brought the truth. You have explained to us now what type of cow we should be slaughtering. Finally Allah says, فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. They slaughtered the cow and they almost did not do it. But the type of cow that was given to them, because they played with the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they almost could not identify that cow to be able to carry out and execute the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا. And the background of this is, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, remember when y'all killed a soul. When one person murdered another person, فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا. You started accusing each other that. One person, well, allegation one person defended. Allegation another person, the person defended. So nobody knew who the murderer is. وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala exposed that which you people were hiding. The murderer was hiding his crime. Allah would expose it. So Allah told, فَقُلْنَا اِدْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. And we said that strike the dead person, the murdered person, with part of the slaughtered cow, with a part of the slaughtered heifer. And when that happened, the dead person came to life and he said, who is the murderer? كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى. One thing Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wanted to show the Banu Israel through this incident, that this is how Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will bring back to life the dead. When a person is dead, on the day of Qiyamah, how a person will be resurrected, this was just one example to show how easy it is for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to resurrect the people on the day of Qiyamah. وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will show you his signs. He show you his signs, his power, his qudrat, so that you may ponder, you may think, you may understand the power and the qudrat of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one narration it is mentioned, the Banu Israel started looking for that particular cow that they had to slaughter. It's not easy to find a yellow cow. It's easy to find a black cow or probably a brown cow or something between black and brown. But even a black cow with yellow taints, or a brown cow with yellow, difficult. Imagine finding a cow that's completely yellow. They had to search far and wide until they came across one yellow cow. It was owned by one person. He was very obedient to his mother and his father. Once before, he wanted to sell that cow. His mother, his father told him, advised him not to sell it. He listened to them. And then, now the Banu Israel offered to sell purchase the cow. They offered gold equivalent to the weight of the cow. He refused. The price increased double, three times, four times, until they offered gold 10 times the weight of the cow. When he accepted it, and then the cow was sold to them, they were slaughtered. In this incident, one may wonder, that why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told him to slaughter a cow? Couldn't Allah tabarak wa ta'ala send a wahi and revelation to Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam who the murderer is? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is al-hakim. Allah is all wise. And wa fi'lu al-hakim la yakhlu an al-hikmah. A hakim, a wise person, whenever he does anything, it is not free of any hikmat. There's some wisdom in what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala does. La yus'alu amma yaf'al wa hum yus'alun. When Allah tabarak wa ta'ala does anything, then we don't ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala why. We simply submit because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is wise, He knows what He's doing. At the time of Musa, at the time of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, one woman, she came to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and she asked Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala not fair? Is Allah not just? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked her, what's the matter? Why are you sad? And why are you questioning the fairness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? So she said that she's a single woman. She does weaving and through that she earned the income to provide for her children. While she was doing her weaving, a bird came and took her instruments of weaving away. Now Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows that I'm a single woman, I'm providing for my children. And the means of income, why would Allah tabarak wa ta'ala cause a bird to take it away? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did not say anything, he kept quiet. Shortly thereafter, two people came holding a bag of gold. They presented it to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked them, what's the matter? They said, we were traveling in the ocean. We were in the center of the ocean in our boat. We were in troubled waters. And water started coming inside our boat and we knew it's a matter of life and death. In the center of the ocean, we made a vow to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, oh Allah, if you save us from this and you give us life again, we would give a bag of gold as charity to the Nabi of the time. No sooner they did make this vow, we saw a bird come down and threw something down to us. The instruments of weaving were sent over to these two people. They took it, they covered the hole in the boat, and somehow they came to a shore. In executing this vow that they made to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Musa, they told Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we brought the bag of gold. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told the woman, you're asking Allah is fair? Take this bag of gold. Allah took the instrument of weaving from you, and Allah has replaced you with gold. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is al-hakim. Allah does things that is beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, but it is the correct and the right thing to do. In this suratul Baqarah, in this incident, we learn one lesson. Banu Israel did not listen. If anybody wants to change their lives, anybody want to reform, the first thing you have to do is sima', to listen, to obey. Open up your heart and mind. Whatever is told for me to do, that is what I should do. One of the signs of a believer is to listen. Allah tells in the Quran Kareem, one of the characteristics of a believer, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. After explaining the important articles of faith, what your faith is supposed to be, now a believer, he says, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We simply listen, we obey. We don't question the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, like the Banu Israel did. They were told to slaughter a cow. Now they started asking different aspects of the cow. In the Quran Kareem, if we want hidayat from the Quran Kareem, Allah tells us, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When the Quran is being read, listen attentively. And be quiet, be silent. That means you should think, you should ponder. And it is through this attitude, when you listen, then you will be guided. How are you going to be guided if you're not going to listen attentively to a Quran Kareem? Message has been given to you. Lessons have been given to you. And it is only when you understand and you reflect, then you will be guided. When the Sahaba, when they came to Madinah to Munawwara, many Sahaba, they said, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi, they told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told him to take bay'at, allegiance. What was that allegiance all about? Bay'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sam' wa ta'a. We took bay'at in the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to listen and to obey. This is a fundamental thing. When a person, he adopts the attitude to listen, when a person adopts the attitude to obey, then he's going to be guided. Otherwise, wealth of information can be given to a person. But if you don't want to listen, if you don't want to obey, then that wealth of information will be of no value. First thing in the field of Islah, in the field of Reformation, you've got to listen. Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, last night's Taraweeh it was recited, أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. A believer is such, he listens attentively. Whatever is the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, not like the Banu Israel, they listen, they don't obey. They listen attentively, and then whatever the best thing to do in executing that order, they would fulfill that. And contrary to the mu'mineen, Allah speaks about the Yahud. Allah speaks about the disbelievers in the Quran. What their attitude is. Allah says, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ, that the worst of animals are those سُمُّ الْبُكْمُ. They are those people that are deaf, and they are those that are dumb. وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لَأَسْمَعَهُمْ وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. They are those people who don't listen. And if Allah will tell them something, they will not even listen, they will turn their backs away. That's the attitude of a munafiq, attitude of a disbeliever. They don't listen. Where Allah speaks about the attitude of a believer, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, few lines after that, Allah says, a disbeliever is such, he says, سَمِعْنَا وَعَسَيْنَا. We listen, but we disobey. If we want to be guided, we need to adopt one attitude, that we need to listen. Open up our hearts, open up our minds. And whatever advice has been given to us, we take it seriously, we listen to it attentively. Then only we will be guided. Otherwise, we can dream of guidance, we will not be guided. You see, in these worldly issues, when we want some kind of guidance, if a person is not well, he's not a doctor, but he requires the attention and guidance of a doctor. He will go to a doctor, what advice the doctor will give him, he has to listen. If the doctor tells him to stay away from certain food, he doesn't eat that food, he doesn't stay away from the food, he doesn't listen to a doctor, he won't be treated. If a person's car is not going well, he's got a problem with the car, he's not a motor mechanic, he doesn't know about vehicles, about the engine, he's going to go to a mechanic, the mechanic will tell him what to do. You have to listen to the guidance of the mechanic, even in the motor vehicle, the running of the motor vehicle. If he doesn't listen to a mechanic, he's going to suffer the consequences. If a person is caught up in a legal wrangle, he will go to a lawyer, he will go to an advocate, he will seek some advice, he will seek some guidance. How do you get across, how do you overcome the law, and how do you look for a solution to the problem? So even in worldly issues, a person will have to look for guidance. The person will have to listen to someone for the person to be guided. Unfortunately today, especially among our young people, the young generation, in the past, the people used to listen to elders more than what our youngsters listen to the elders today. Nowadays, our youngsters will listen to probably Google, or probably they got the phones, or they've got the so many other different type of media. That has now become the guiding line. Whereas, if a youngsters do not listen to the elderly people, and draw from their experiences, draw from their insight, then they will be lost in life. Very, very important for young people to adopt the attitude of listening. Whatever my elderly people telling, senior people are telling, I need to listen and I need to go by that guidance. One person was fishing in the ocean. He used sardine as a bait. After some while, there was one fish, small fish, that started nibbling on that sardine. So one big fish passed by and told to a small fish, don't nibble on that. Inside that, there's one hook that's going to hook you up. The small fish didn't listen to a big fish, told to a big fish, no, you're jealous. Because I've got something to eat, and you don't have something to eat, so you're jealous on me. You don't want me to eat it, and probably you want me to leave it so you could eat it. The small fish didn't listen to the big fish. The small fish is enjoying nibbling on the sardine. The big fish is pleading and telling to the small fish, please don't do it, I care for you. Just now you'll be in trouble. The small fish kept on nibbling until when the fisherman, he could feel the bite, he hooked that fish and he started reeling it out of the ocean. The big fish then told to the small fish, I told you that there's a hook behind it. Listen to me, you didn't listen to me, you are now suffering the consequences. Death has now come up to you. How many acts there are today that there's a hook behind it. Look at the cell phone, there's a hook behind that. How often we tell our youngsters that be careful, look after yourselves. There's a limit to everything, don't go beyond the limit. You go beyond the limit, then there's a hook behind that, you're going to get caught up into it. So much of evil, so much of immorality is in the cell phone. In the internet world, the media is there, and we are so caught up in that thing there, just like that small fish got caught, many of our youngsters get caught up in that. Listen, adopt that attitude of listening. When we listen, then we'll be guided, and we'll go on the correct and the right path. Once, there was one person who qualified as a professor. He was about to start up his work in some university or whatever opportunity he had. And he thought before he could start off his work, he should get some advice and he should get some insight from a senior professor. The junior professor asked the senior professor for advice. The senior professor told him to come home, we'll have a cup of tea. The junior professor goes to the house of the senior professor. The tea was ready. Now, the senior professor started pouring tea. Normally, when you pour tea, then it is probably 3/4 cup or right up to the top. You won't let the tea overflow. The senior professor started serving the tea, but the tea started flowing over to a plate and onto the tray. The junior professor thought to himself, I came here for advice, and the senior professor doesn't even know how to serve tea. The tea is overflowing. Out of embarrassment, he couldn't say anything, but the senior professor saw that the sign of embarrassment on the sign of the senior, on the junior professor. So he asked him, what's the matter? The junior professor told him that the tea can take so much, the cup can take so much, can't take more than that. There's no place anymore in that cup for the cup to take any more tea. So the senior professor told him, you came to get advice, that's my advice to you. There's no place inside that cup for it to take any more tea. You also, you need to keep place in your heart for my advice. If you're going to block your heart up from advice and you're just going to listen to it and go away, you're not going to benefit. You need to keep some place inside your heart to take and absorb that advice. Otherwise, what advice am I going to give to you? The advice is not going to be of any use. Just few incidents in history to show that how not listening can be detrimental and harmful. See, in the Battle of Uhud, what happened? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told 50 Sahaba to stand on a mountain pass. He feared that the enemy would come behind the mountain and they would launch an attack. In the Battle of Uhud, Muslims were initially victorious. And it was after that victory, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he came from behind and he launched an attack. He saw there was nobody on the mountain pass. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told those 50 Sahaba, remain there on the mountain pass, don't move away, whatever happened, victory or defeat. The Amir, the leader, was Abdullah ibn Jubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, whatever happened, don't move away from there. When the Muslims launched an attack and there was victory, and the Sahaba started collecting the booty. So, the Sahaba that were there, they said, the war has come to an end. Other Sahaba collecting the booty, let us also go and collect the booty. The Amir Abdullah ibn Jubair told them, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, La tabrah, don't move away from this place. And if we go against the order of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't listen, we're going to suffer the consequences. Some listened, some did not listen. And because of not listening, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, when he saw the mountain was empty, there weren't much people there, he launched an attack from there. That entire victory changed into a defeat. And repeatedly Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells the sahaba, tells in the Quran Kareem, y'all did not listen. Y'all obeyed, disobeyed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because of that, you suffer the consequences. And that goes with us everywhere. Whatever we are told to do, listen, obey, adopt that attitude. Don't take a chance and think that you can go against it. Otherwise, we ourselves will suffer the consequences. In Bukhari, in the second volume, in the chapter of Maghazi, there is an incident about the battle of Khaybar. It was a very, very difficult battle. There was one particular fort that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba were struggling to conquer for many, many days. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the Sahaba were wounded, and he told the Sahaba, tomorrow we're going to return to Medina. Tomorrow we're going to return to Medina. So Sahaba said, how could we return to Medina without conquering that fort? We want to conquer that fort. The second day they went to attack that fort, and again they were wounded worse than before. Now the following day, Nabi Sallam told them, we're going to return to Medina. They all kept quiet. What Nabi Sallam smiled, what I told y'all yesterday to do, y'all didn't do. Had you listened to me yesterday, today y'all wouldn't have suffered the consequences. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make Soum-e Wisal, fast continuously. And this was the speciality of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had the strength, he had the energy to do it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Allahu yut'imuni wa yasqini. Allah give me food to eat, Allah give me to drink. I have that energy that you don't have. But he told the Sahaba, you all must not follow me in that, in continuous fasting. And that continuous fasting would mean fasting also even without iftar. Continuous fasting. With some sahaba out of zeal, out of enthusiasm, to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also started fasting continuously, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach them a lesson. I told y'all one time that y'all must not follow me in fasting. That is my exclusive right, but y'all are still doing it. Now to teach them a lesson, Nabi sallam carried on. Fasting and fasting and fasting and fasting until they were just hoping when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would stop his fast. Most respected elders and friends, we learn a lesson from this incident. To listen. Isma'u. Whenever Allah Ta'ala tells us something, Rasul tells us something, our elders tell us something, our parents tell us something, our ulama tell us something, we know it's the right thing, it is said for your own benefit, then simply submit, obey and carry out the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And our attitude should be just like what is the rule of sajdatul tilawat. The 14 places sajdatul tilawat in the Quran Kareem, one is you read the ayat of the Quran, immediately sajdatul tilawat have to be made. But even if a person that is listening to the ayat of sajda, one person is reading the ayat of sajda, another person not reading, but he's merely listening. If even that echo, leave aside the actual verse, the echo also has to reach your ears, then immediately sajda tilawat become wajib upon you. That's supposed to be our attitude in the laws of the Sharia. The moment Allah Ta'ala tells us something, if we heard about it, we get a brief understanding of it, we get a hint that this is the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, don't delay in that. Immediately carry out the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Just as in sajda tilawat, we make sajda, we immediately submit and we prostrate before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Adopt that attitude every aspect of our life. When we hear the order of Allah, we hear the order of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where our elders and seniors are telling us something, then immediately submit and carry out the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is only with this attitude that you'll be able to make progress in life and you will climb the heights and the stairs of spirituality and ruhaniyat. May Allah tabarak grant us tawfiq and hidayat to draw lessons from these incidents of the Quran Kareem, and don't be like the Banu Israel where they play around with the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala regarding this, and whenever Allah ta'ala's law come, laws of the Shariat come, immediately submit to it. By doing so, there'll be khair, there'll be barakah. Most importantly, we go in the protection, the hifazat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.